Open your Bibles this evening to Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33. I'm going to read the first six verses. Focus on the last two that I read. As we consider the stability of our times, as we look in the change of the new year, that again, we want to consider those things which are always forever anchored and sure and changing. And that is our precious God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the rock of ages, who is our rock and our redeemer, upon whom we can rest and lean and look and trust and find our ever-present help. We are grateful that you are keeper, never slumber nor sleep. O Father, we know from whence our help comes. It comes from you who are exalted on high. God, we are grateful as we come tonight to be able to consider this portion of the prophetic word from the book of Isaiah. And Lord God, that we ourselves might find you, the stability of our times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Woe to you, O destroyer, while you were not destroyed. And he was treacherous, while others did not deal treacherously with him. As soon as you shall finish destroying, you shall be destroyed. As soon as you cease to deal treacherously, others shall deal treacherously with you. O Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for you. Be thou their strength every morning. Our salvation also in the time of distress. At the sound of the tumult, peoples flee. At the lifting up of thyself, nations disperse. And your spoil is gathered as the caterpillar gathers. As locusts rushing about, men rush about on it. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. And he shall be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Why do I take this text? Well, because of what is obvious all around us. And that is that instability is often the order of the day. All you have to do is read your newspaper or your internet or listen to your radio or watch your TV, and you will find instability. In fact, looking at the instability might make you unstable, as I know oftentimes I get rattled by the instability of what I see. Instability in the markets, instability in nations, instability in institutions, instability in cultures and traditions, and an instability that is not just simply on a national scale, but also personally. Instability oftentimes in families, instability in homes, the instability of our own souls often in the midst of the circumstances that surround us. And so what I want to do this night, as we think of this changing year, this new year, I want to remind you and direct you to the sure stability in our unstable times. In fact, our sure stability at all times. And so to do that, I'm just staking myself out around verses 5 and 6 of this word of Isaiah to the children of Israel, where he says to a distressed and distracted people in verse 6, he shall be the stability of your times. I've always loved that, reading it. I've always found it to be a wonderful word of encouragement and a refocusing of my poor, distracted, distressed, unstable soul. This word of Isaiah in chapter 33 comes in the time of the Assyrian threat during the reign of Hezekiah. The chapter opens with the destroyer, Sennacherib, still destroying. It opens with the treacherous one still being treacherous. The bully is still bullying. Hezekiah, a righteous king, has used human means to try to secure stability and safety in Israel. He has sought to make an alliance with weak Egypt. He has sought to pay off wicked Assyria, and both of those policies were utter failures. Egypt could not stand it. It was a broken reed. Assyria turned on the money given and invaded Judah anyway. Both of those strategies, both of those attempts to gain peace and security apart from the living God were useless. And so the people of Israel find themselves very unstable. And in fact, verses 7 through 9 give us a succinct view of the scene that self-reliance and man-made policies sows. We find the brave men of Israel crying in the streets, the ambassadors of peace weeping, the highways desolate, men no longer traveling because of the broken covenant. The land mourns and pines away. Lebanon is shamed and withers. Sharon is like a desert plain, and all of it loses its foliage. It's all the folly of human reliance upon human means for stability and safety and security. And so it comes back to these words in verses 5 and 6 through the prophet. The Lord is exalted, for He dwells on high. Set your eyes up higher than where they've been set on the nations or the kings and rulers of the earth. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. He shall be the stability of your times. Who is He? Well, He is that one that we're told in verse 5 is the Lord. And so I want us to consider this wonderful text, the stability of your times. Some versions say He's the certainty of your times. We lack for certainty, but here is a certainty. Here is the greatest certainty there is. The Lord Himself. You want to get a handle on something that is certain and secure and safe and stable? It is the Lord. He's not like currency. He's not like the dollar. He's not like our health. He's not like institutions. He's not like men. He is certain. He's secure. Some other versions, this word that is translated the stability of your times is rendered the firmness or the steadiness. And then so you get this whole idea again of this sure foundation as the NIV renders it. That's a welcome word, isn't it? I mean, even if there was no exposition further, go camp on it. He's the stability of your times. He and none other. And so look unto none other but Him. So what I want to do is I just simply want to open that up under three separate headings. As He is the stability of our times. And the first heading is this: He is our stability as our supreme Lord. He is our stability as our supreme Lord. Lord is a wonderful word. It's Yahweh. It's the name by which He covenanted to identify Himself with His people and take His people to Himself. It is a personal term. He's our personal stability. He personally undertakes to secure us. He personally undertakes to keep us safe. He personally undertakes to be the stability of our times. He binds Himself to us by His own purpose. His very name, Lord, denotes all the fullness and self-existence and self-sufficiency that He is. He has bound Himself to be our sure keeper, our firm foundation, our solid rock. In Isaiah 26, in verse 3, this word the prophet gives to the Lord: you keep Him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Is your mind stayed on Him? Because that's what He does. He keeps in perfect peace the man who is God the Lord minded. Because He trusts in you. Trust in the Lord, therefore, forever. For the Lord is an everlasting rock. He is personal stability. He's also preeminent stability as our sovereign Lord. This Lord, we're told here, is exalted, dwelling on high. It speaks of His transcendence. It speaks of his unchallenged, unrivaled supremacy. And I know that it's not so much a spatial term, but we ought to think about it in this way. He lives above the chaos. He's above it all. None of this disturbs or affects him. He dwells on high. He's not challenged by our times, nor by the men of our times. They present no unsolvable dilemma for him. He abides and he rules where he sees all things high enough to know the end from the beginning, because he, as the Exalted One, has determined it all in his own purpose. He's not a local deity. He's not a god of the hills or the valleys, as the Philistines thought. He is the God of the whole cosmos. Exalted, he is the Lord over all, above all. Where am I going to anchor my soul? Remember that little song, "My hope is built on nothing less." When all around my soul gives way, where is my anchor? Are you going to anchor if your boat's drifting down a raging river? Are you going to anchor it to the other boat beside you that's going down the same river? Are you going to anchor it to a drifting iceberg or something that will melt away? I want to stick my anchor on something that is firm and on this Lord. The times change, but the Lord changes not. The times are untrustworthy, but God is faithful. Everything is shifting, but the Lord is the one in whom there is no variation or any shifting shadow. I don't have a shifty God. I have a trustworthy, faithful God in the midst of untrustworthy, shifting times. This is the instability, really, by the way, of modern theology. Modern theology sees a God that's changing. A God that changes as he grows through the circumstances of his own cosmos. He grows in his understanding and his ability to do things. He is an evolving God. And it's surely, any that teaches that cuts all the moorings of our own security and stability. Modern theology, the theology of God's evolution or learning things, leaves no stability at all. A God who changes with the times, a God who changes as the times change, is not the God of Isaiah. We will be unanchored unless we're anchored in Him. He dwells on high. And let me just say one other thing under this subject matter as our Supreme Lord. Lord is a wonderful word. It means the created eternal I am, which means that He is an eternal stability. He is an eternal rock. Some can find stability. We can find stability oftentimes for a while in something, but eventually all of those securities fail us, don't they? All other trusts at some time prove untrustworthy. All other refuges at some times can become a burden. All other confidences oftentimes crumble. But He's the stability. David said, "I have been young, now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken." Let that be the anchor for your souls, dear one. He is the sovereign Lord, is the stability of our times. The reason oftentimes we are so unstable is we are looking at the storms. We're looking at the rising sea and the blowing wind. Just like poor Peter, we get distracted. But the stability of our times is in the boat, or standing, riding, ruling the seas. Our troubles may be high, but our help is higher. Too much focus and reflection on the times and troubles around us can destabilize us. But this high God is not aloof, and He is not indifferent. So what should we do? Lift up our eyes and cast an anchor upward. What's the best anchor to throw? It's the anchor of prayer. It's the anchor of a trusting, constant dependency. Anchor your soul, cry upon Him in the midst of the instability. We may laugh at Peter for getting out of the boat and laugh at him indeed as he began to sink, but I'm glad he cried, "Lord, save me." He looked, he got out, and he cried, and he was lifted up out of the sea. The Lord is willing to find us low, but we must seek him high. There he is. But he waits on high to have compassion on us. Second, he is our stability, not only as our supreme Lord, but he is our stability as our powerful sovereign. Maybe these are interrelated, and certainly they are. What is the ground for stability for the believer, the truster, in the midst of unstable times, unstable men? It's the fact that all of them, all of the times, and all of the men of the times are in the hands of our Lord. It is a glorious text that we opened with this night in Isaiah 33. I'm looking at Isaiah 33, but I'm thinking of Psalm 33. That I opened with this night is the reason to give praise to God. But I love what it says. Here, listen to this God who is our stability. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth, all their host. E equals MC squared. Mass, to make any kind of mass, requires almost infinite power to make an infinitesimal article of mass. That equation establishes, in one sense, the incredible, inestimable power of the word of the Lord to make the heavens. By the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers waters of the sea together as a deep. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Therefore, let the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the earth stand in awe of him. For he spoke. He didn't move a muscle. He didn't twitch a ligament. He expressed his will, and it was all done to the amazement and astonishment of men. He commanded, and it stood fast. Now listen, he is Lord over all the created order. The Lord nullifies the counsel of nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. He rules the times. He rules men. This is our stability. The season of Judah's distress and the destroyer's destruction is going to be brought to an end. Because we find in verse 1, this one who is causing the distraction, this one who is unsettling them, as soon as you finish destroying, O Assyria, O mighty Sennacherib and your Rabshakehs and your chiefs that are inhabiting the land of God's people, you shall be destroyed. As soon as you shall cease to deal treacherously, others shall deal treacherously with you. Verse 3. At the sound of the tumult, peoples flee. At the lifting up of yourself, nations disperse. Verse 10, now I will arise, says the Lord. Now I will be exalted. Now I will be lifted up. It's always interesting when God rises, he really stoops. Because his rising is his rising to activity, but it always rises and comes out of heaven itself. He is the powerful stability of our times because he is the sovereign of our times. He orders all the events concerning our lives, dear people, with a perfect and a powerful and a wise precision. David said in Psalm 31:15, my times are in your hand. Men are in his hands. The men of the times are in his hands, and so are our times. He is our only real stability. Certainly there are other things that would look more secure to us oftentimes that catch our attention. Certainly it was Egypt for wise and godly Hezekiah, and then it was maybe the gold out of the treasure houses that maybe he thought would satisfy Sennacherib. But all of it was shame. All of it was vanity and emptiness. Where can stability and steadfastness be found? Not, as I said, in the dollar. Not in government institutions, for sure. not in men who, like Reuben's hearts, are unstable like water. It can't be found in our physical condition, our financial condition. It can't be. There's some things in earth that are more stable than other, but all things are unstable compared to our Lord. He who believes in me, the Lord says, will not be disappointed. How have you been disappointed by so many other things? Haven't we been? By our confidences and our trust in other things. When everything else is shaking, this is the sure, strong foundation. And finally, the third point I would make is that He is our stability, is our full salvation. He is not only that anchor in which we can be safe indeed in terms of the temporal or in physical circumstances, but He is our spiritual stability. I like the NIV rendering here. It's excellent as it attempts to catch the fullness of the words used. He says, "The Lord is a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge." My version says wealth, a treasure storehouse of everything that the needy, unstable saint needs. He who is our stability is our store, it says, of wealth, salvation, and wisdom. He's our true wealth. He's our divine warehouse of overabundant, all-sufficiency. In fact, it's interesting, the word salvation in your Bibles, in the second part of verse 6, is in the plural. Isn't that wonderful? All I need is one. Salvation. One salvation from a divine God is enough, but the divine writer uses in the plural. He is a wealth of salvations. He is a wealth of deliverances. It is as if the inspired writer is seeking to bring out and seeking to emphasize, indeed, in some way, the fullness, the completeness, the richness of that salvation which the Lord Himself brings to His people and is to His people. I'm reminded of that phrase in Ephesians 2:6, the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness to us in Jesus Christ. The surpassing riches of grace. That is what He is. That is what He gives. A wealth of wisdom. Oftentimes that is, it's my own ignorance, but He gives me wisdom in the midst of the times. How stable we are, unstable we are, but here is one that presents to us the fullness and the riches of God Himself. And I think, simply as I think of this one who is the wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge, I cannot but help think of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. But by His doing, that is, but by God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus. You are put in the treasure house. You are put in that wealth of wisdom and salvation and sanctification and redemption. It's all in Christ. All that we need pertaining to salvation, security forever, security for our souls, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, a rich resource for every essential need. He is comprehensively our all-sufficiency. We don't need any other, no other source. There is no situation or circumstance in which He is not what we need. He ought to be the first and final resource of our souls. As I was reading this section here, a good man wrote, "Trusting Him when all else fails is what faith is all about." And I just think it would have been wiser to leave out "when all else fails." Trusting Him is what faith is all about, no matter what. It isn't seeking God. Faith isn't seeking God as the last resort. Faith in its highest expression is seeking God always as the first and primary resort. Faith doesn't make Him the last. Trusting Him who never fails and full of grace is what faith is all about. We don't have to be spiritual nomads running from cistern to cistern and shallow well to shallow well. All that we need, dear people, is found in the fullness that He Himself is. Throw a line to Him. cast a line. Do what these did in verse 2 of Isaiah. This very cry, O Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for you. Be our strength every morning. That is a good way to get stable of soul. It is to throw a good line to the good Lord. The more constant and conscious your dependence upon Christ, the more constant and conscious will be your stability in these times. And maybe one other word. Not only throw a good line, but make sure it's a good line. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, it says, is His treasure. Do you know what stabilizes our souls? The fear of the Lord. It is a treasure. We want to go away from that word for it has connotations sometimes that seem hard to us, but it is a purifying, stabilizing grace. It is that grace that has a high and a right regard of the Lord. It has a high regard for Him. It realizes what the Scripture says is indeed true. It is a fear that regards Him as this great and holy, mighty, trustworthy, faithful God, and that then it applies to Him. Fear Him, and you don't need to fear anything else, folks. Throw up a good line, pray, and ask God to give you the grace to fear and not be fearful. Let us pray. Our God, we thank You that this very word that was uttered more than 2,700 years ago is still as true as it was then, as it was in the beginning, and as it will be to the very end of the age. We are grateful, Lord God, even that we would confess, if we multiplied our testimonies together this night, that it would be found even true in our own day and in our own situations. Oh God, we are unstable. Father, Thou dost know often that we are distracted and easily anxious and distressed. You know, Lord God, that often our eyes are overtaken and our minds by the things we see and feel, by the seat of our pants. But oh God, help us to fly. Help us to fly by those instruments of faith that look unto You who are high and lifted up. You who hold the times and the men of the times. You who accomplishes Your good pleasure and will be frustrated by none. You who have bound Yourself to us, not only as our protector, but our Redeemer and our full salvation. God, we have a rich, rich resource. We have a strong and excellent rock in You. God, grant that we may cry in our morning awakenings, oh God, be gracious to us. We wait for You. Oh God, be our strength this day. Be our stability. In Jesus' name, amen.